Everyone, good to see you again. Tim Meyer, I'm live in Mass here, as I'm sure you know by now, with my family just up the road. Great to worship with you again this evening. But Sister Act, now there was a wonderful show, I'm sure, but they can't compete naturally with our singing skills. And certainly not our dance moves. Do you think, John?
Maybe.
Oh, no. I know about our knees and hips. That's the only problem I think it might be about. Great show. So we're exploring the Gospel of John over the next few weeks. And we speak about John with those marvellous opening words, don't we? Those wonderful words, earth-shattering, memorable words to chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. Pure poetry. And it's intended to help people to come to know Jesus as their personal Saviour. Their personal Saviour. If you're going to excuse me, I'm going to read later on from the Message Bible. And I know some are not keen, but don't chase me out of the church with pitchforks. I'll explain why later on, why I've chosen the Message Bible. The Life Light, John 1, verses 1 to 15. The Life Light. The Word was first. The Word present to God. God present to the Word. The Word was God, in readiness for God from day one. Everything was created through him. Nothing, not one thing, came into being without him. What came into existence was life, and the life was light to live by. The life light blazed out of the darkness. The darkness couldn't put it out. There once was a man, his name John, sent by God to point out the way to the life light. He came to show everyone where to look, who to believe in. John himself was not the light. He was there to show the way to the light. The life light was the real thing. Every person entering life, he brings into light. He was in the world was there through him. And yet, the world didn't even notice. He came to his own people, but they didn't want him. But whoever did want him, who believed he was who he claimed and would do what he said, he made to be their true selves, their child of God selves. These are the God begotten. Not blood begotten, not flesh begotten, not sex begotten. The Word became flesh and blood and moved into the neighbourhood. We saw the glory with our own eyes, the one-of-a-kind glory, like Father, like Son, generous inside and out, true from start to finish. John pointed him out and called, "This is the One. The one I told you was coming after me, but in fact was ahead of me. He has always been ahead of me and always had the first word." Thanks be to God.
Amen.
So there's an old icebreaker. I'm sure you've possibly might have done this on time to time about who would be your favourite famous guest to invite to a dinner party. Who would be your favourite person that you would choose to, out of any famous person, to come to a dinner party? So I don't know, I'm not going to pick on you, but I wonder who yours would be. As I've possibly told you before, I'm a child of the 60s, so I was obsessed with the Apollo moon landing, so mine might be Neil Armstrong, the first man on the moon. Well, a survey took part all over the world, asking people who their favourite person would be to invite to a dinner party. And guess who it reveals, the top 10. I wonder how many of these would be in your top 10. In 10th place, ladies and gentlemen, Taylor Swift, the pop star. The pop star, I'm sure she's great. 9th place, Martin Luther King. Fair enough. 8th place, David Attenborough, from your TV screens. 7th place, Queen Elizabeth II. 6th place, Elvis Presley. 5th place, Barack Obama. 4th place, Leonardo da Vinci. 3rd place, we're getting to the top 3 now. 3rd place, Muhammad. 2nd place, Albert Einstein, the scientist. And in 1st place, Jesus Christ. Mm. Jesus Christ. So I wondered to myself, why is this? Why is it that Jesus is in first place? I believe it is because of those words that are written in John chapter 1. John chapter 1 that we're looking at today. Because in my humble opinion, if you like, these are some of the most important words in the whole Bible. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling amongst us. John 1 verse 14. The Word became flesh, flesh and blood, and moved into the neighbourhood. See, God came to live as a human being. In other words, God came to live in our neighbourhood. When John says in his gospel the Word became flesh, he used a Greek word, which with those in that culture would have been familiar. It was the word logos. In Greek philosophy, logos was the rational principle that said it gave order to the universe. John used the word logos to say that this divine power became real flesh and blood. Because John chapter 1 is all about encountering the Word. Doug Connolly summarises that. Its purpose is to introduce John's message about Jesus, to demonstrate the impact that Jesus had on people's own lives. The first 18 verses, in fact, is usually called the prologue. It's where John states basic truths about Jesus that he wants to communicate with me and you, with us. By calling Jesus the Word, he declares that Jesus is full expression of God. Jesus came to show us who God was. John the Baptist repeated that he, of course, wasn't Christ. John the Baptist knew that Christ was the one we'd all been waiting for and that he'd been waiting for. So why are you saying to me, Tim Meyer, why do you think the most important words in the Bible are these? The Word became flesh and made his dwelling amongst us. Because for me, this is the great truth. This is the great truth that sets Christianity apart from all the other wonderful great religions. After those terrible riots in the summer, that I'm sure you remember, all over England and in Middlesbrough, in fact, the whole community came together to clear up the mess that had gone on. The whole community worked together, Muslim, Jew, Christian, and it was really moving to see. It was moving for me to see. So my instinct is always to try and work together to respect, to coexist in unity and in partnership. But there is, having said all that, something different about our God, our Christian God. He doesn't remain remote. He doesn't remain unapproachable. He's come to us in person. He didn't just write us a letter, did he? He didn't just send us sort of a representative. He didn't just speak his laws from a lofty mountain. He came to us as one of us. As one of us. The Word became flesh and moved into our neighbourhood. What other religion do you know whose God comes to them in person to die for his people? Buddha didn't claim to be God, nor did he claim to have even come from God. Muhammad didn't claim to be God, only a prophet of God, and of course, the author of the Quran. In all other great world religions, we have the Word becoming word. A verbal, if you like, revelation. Writings and moral codes. Only in Christianity does the Word become flesh. God didn't just reveal his laws, he reveals himself. Nothing less would do for him. Because if the Word only became Word, then our contact with God would only be sort of an intellectual one, a theological one. But the Word becomes flesh, and now, for us, for me and you, it's personal. It's personal. The Word is standing in front of us and calling out our name. And he knows this neighbourhood. He knows the loneliness. He knows the grieving. He knows the fears. He knows the difficulties. He knows the anxieties. He knows when you're hurting. And he knows when you're rejoicing. God moved into the neighbourhood and pitched his tent in Mask. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling amongst us. Because this word dwelt is interesting. Because the word dwelt in Greek derives from the word for a tent. A tent. The Word became flesh and dwelt amongst us. God became human, pitches his tent amongst us. He pitches his tent in our community. Now, I've spent far too many holidays, I'm sure maybe you have, living in a tent or holidaying in a tent, being battered by wind and rain. I know how vulnerable they are, how fragile tents can be, bits of them blowing off in the night and going down the road. But the Word became human and pitched his tent amongst us. So Jesus begins to sort of emerge, as it were, emerge from Scripture. Suddenly we're reading more than words, aren't we? Suddenly we're reading more than words. We're experiencing a person. Something real is happening. The Scriptures start to come alive because the Word has become flesh. Jesus steps out of the pages and into our lives. He becomes accessible to us. And that's why I read from the Message Bible, because it makes truths accessible. Here is God in human form, God expressing himself in a language we can all understand. I'm sure in your life you have things that are really important, big deals. I know in my family there are relatives that have big deals, deal breakers if you like. My mum came here a couple of weeks ago. You welcomed her into worship. She's a Christian girl. She'll be at a church to see this morning. And she had a great time here. It made her day. Her big deal is she won't ever shop on Amazon. Okay. She won't ever use Amazon because she feels it puts little shops out of business. I can't be a hypocrite. For the convenience, I use Amazon. But for her, it's like a big deal, a cornerstone, if you like. My wife, Sue, who's a Christian also, she made a decision to be a vegetarian decades ago. It's a big deal for her. She doesn't impose that on me because she knows I can't be a hypocrite. I like my roast dinners too much. But for her, it's a cornerstone, a big deal. Sometimes in life, in our faith, we do need absolutes. We do need cornerstones. And for me, a big deal, a cornerstone, are those words in John chapter 1. The Word became flesh, made his dwelling amongst us. And I know you're here in a few weeks' time in chapter 3, the equally important words, for God so loved the world, he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish. These are cornerstones. These are cornerstones. Just as Jesus came to live with us 2,000 years ago, he stands among us this very evening, next to you now. Those without hope can find this for the future. Those who are sad can receive joy. If you need God's comfort, then allow him to put his arms around you. And as a result, we find that God isn't a theological doctrine, but a relationship with us. He's moved into the neighbourhood, he's pitched his tent here. We're far from perfect, aren't we? I know I am. We've all got a long way to go. So I think what pitching a tent with us implies that God wants to be on familiar terms with us. He wants to be close. If God came to the community and built a huge palace with walls and fences around it, that's just something about his character. But if you pitch a tent in my backyard, you're probably going to meet me. You're going to eat at my table. That's why God became human. He came to pitch a tent in our human backyard so we'd have loads of dealings with him. He set aside the privileges of deity and took on the status of human. So in closing tonight, I just want to speak about Booker T. Washington. He was an American slave, black slave, who later became one of the great educators in America. And in fact, he ended up being the first black African American to be on a stamp. He wrote a book, and he said about his early years as a slave boy, he said, "The most trying ordeal I was forced to endure as a slave boy was the wearing of a flax shirt. This was the standard clothing for the slaves. Our clothing was made of the cheapest and roughest bit of flax." And he says, "I scarcely can imagine the torture caused by putting on a new flax shirt for the first time. One would experience 100 small pinpricks in contact with the flesh. But I had no choice. I had to wear that flax shirt. My older brother performed one of the most generous things one slave can do for another. He generously agreed to put my shirt on instead and wear it for several days, till it was broken in, as it were." Jesus Christ, our elder brother, he is our elder brother who has come alongside of us to take on the roughness of the world on our behalf. He's put on our shirt. He's put on our shirt, walked where we have walked, and eased the pain of life. He is willing to place our suffering and pain on his own back, and he chooses to love us. John chapter 1, he reveals his plan to us. The creator of the universe comes to the world, which he has created in love. So yeah, Taylor Swift, David Attenborough, Elvis Presley, Einstein, maybe really impressive figures. Even Neil Armstrong, my favourite moon astronaut. But I'd be absolutely astonished if they came in here this evening, walked in today, and be at all interested in me. But Jesus is already here. And he knows you by name, and he simply wants to have a relationship with you. He stands here today, this evening, in mask, with a smile of love and his arms extended, because the word has moved into the neighbourhood. Amen.